You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, Teddy Lee Knox. Hello, Teddy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. A little under the weather, but we're getting through it. It's, you know, fall season here in Ohio, so the weather's is changing. The sinuses are acting up. But we're also talking about another season, and that is Christmas tree season.
Yes, it is.
It's one of our favorite topics. I wouldn't necessarily consider it produce, but it's the same type of situation, right? Yeah. It impacts a specific region with a influx of inventory to move, for lack of a better term, and that causes disruption.
It does. And, I mean, again, on your note of it may not be produce, but it is. It's because it goes right in line with the way that produce shifts throughout the market throughout the year, and it lines up really perfectly with that supply and demand that you're mentioning.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, like, the definition of a Christmas tree wouldn't be produce. I don't think so. I might have to look that up. Table that. Table that for next time. Let's throw out some stats and facts about Christmas trees.
Love it.
How about this? 73 million Christmas trees are planted all over the United States each year. Wild.
That is wild.
25 to 30 million trees are delivered across the nation to prepare for the holiday season. Every year, 25 to 30 million. Unbelievable.
And they're big. Like, that's a lot of space.
What's your typical, do you get a real tree?
We do. Not every year, but we
Height?
Try to. We're not a tall family, so we don't really want a tall tree just because the top half just would never be decorated. So we go for...
You don't have ladders? Step stools?
I mean, we do, but I'm interested in efficiency when it comes to decorating. So our trees are normally like what you would see. What was that book? Like the Perfect Christmas Tree, where it was a little bit wonky.
Charlie Brown?
No. Yeah. That's the kind of Christmas trees we have. We try to pick the ones that maybe no one else would want.
Okay. That's nice.
So.
Solid.
What about you?
You do like a 6 to 7 footer.
I feel like that's big.
Yeah. And it fits just under the ceiling. Tell me where most of the Christmas trees are harvested.
So in the PNW, or Pacific Northwest, you have North, Central, Midwest, and Northeast regions of the United States is where you're seeing a lot of these trees come from. So if you can imagine a map of the United States, you can kind of see where that is.
Sure. Forest areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Oregon and North Carolina are the number one producing states.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, Oregon fits into the Pacific Northwest. That's where we see most of the disruption.
Mm-hmm.
Like with all of our product, right? People are planning for Christmas tree deliveries in early Q4, heading all the way into like early December.
Yep.
Right? You want the Christmas trees available for people to pick up before the actual holiday, which is at the end of December.
Mm-hmm. But unlike other, so like when we're talking about Christmas season, holiday season in general, so if you go to the grocery store right now, or early fall, before Halloween, Christmas decorations, you know, winter holiday decorations are out.
Yeah.
Already. But Christmas trees, it's a tree. So you can't have that out before. Like, you can't just have that ready to go in, you know, cut down and still in prime shape in October.
That's what you come for, the hard-hitting stuff. Christmas trees are a tree.
It's a tree. I wasn't sure if I can call it a plant or not. Like, it's not
a plant.
That seems
a tree.
Yeah,
it was alive.
It's alive. Yes, I was trying not to say that because it
so,
seemed weird.
Yeah, certainly harvesting Christmas trees, putting them out to be purchased. I mean, it's the same kind of thoughts on the transition from Halloween into Thanksgiving into Christmas. Like, it goes quickly,
it
right? It's a full on effort of. We need to get these off out of the Christmas trees out of the ground.
Yeah.
But for the decorations, the candy, right? It's October 30, all the way up to October 31st. It's Halloween, and then boom, the next day it's Christmas and Thanksgiving, ready to rock.
Yeah, and it's got a shelf life, just like a lot of other CPG products.
Sure,
you have to make sure that doesn't get past that. Otherwise, you're not gonna. There's not a lot of people like me that want to buy the dead. Ugly trees. So
you're not buying Reese's Pieces pumpkins on November 15th. I can tell you that much. What do we see as far as the impact on capacity and rates?
So the impact for Christmas tree season is very similar to what you would see for anything else that it comes to produce or market changes, where capacity is being drawn to want to go to another place for easier outbound. So it's going to be more appealing for you, for a driver to go into, we'll say, Oregon, going that example, right now, October through December, versus it would have been during, you know, strawberry season. And they're going to be going and drawing to those places to get these easier outbound where these Christmas trees are harvested. I feel like that was a very rough
description
of it. Basically, they want to go where the Christmas trees are.
They want to go where the money is.
Yes.
Right? So drivers, again, we've been talking about this on several of our episodes, but we're on a post-COVID, post-2022 historical three-year market compression.
Mm-hmm.
There's an excess of capacity, and drivers are operating at either break-even or below break-even levels for a long time,
mm-hmm.
you know, multiple months, if not years. And so when we have an influx of, and let's face it, in this case, Christmas trees are not sold year-round, right? So they, similar to what we talk about of our CPG products, they got to get on the shelf, they got to get to their consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So those Christmas tree producers, providers, companies, whatever you want to call it, are willing to pay a premium to make sure their product gets to their destination.
Mm-hmm.
So that drives the carriers to go there. So maybe they'll take a little bit less going into the Pacific Northwest, Oregon, like you mentioned, because they know they're going to get more out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much extra freight.
Yes.
Right? And so what that does is, if a Christmas tree provider on a Portland to Chicago shipment is paying, let's call it 1.5x of a typical line haul rate, so now the normal shipper out of Portland has to comply, or has to have great carrier relationships, or has to understand the market disruptions to kind of weather those storms, for lack of a better term. And we're going to talk about storms in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's where it can cause differences, or tender rejections that disrupt the supply chain, or maybe that leaves your product on, you know, the aforementioned Portland shipper. So all those things to consider during this brief, you know, 2 to 3 month or 2 to 2.5 month time period.
Which is a big couple months for CPG market as well. And then
sure.
Think about the type of equipment being used. If that's similar to the equipment that you are using and you are going in and out of these areas for your products, it's again going to impact the available capacity that you would like to have, and doing things like maybe you switch to reefers, even though your product does not need refrigerated, you can come up with some solutions to make sure that the capacity is not impacted for your specific products, to make sure that there is things for Christmas trees.
Nope.
And not cause you problems. I think that's important to remember. It's not all just about, okay, just wait 3 months. Like, there's solutions you can put in place.
Absolutely.
To not feel these disruptions.
Absolutely. Certainly knowing about them is the first step, and working with a partner to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
What other things can potentially impact rates during this time? So this is a little bit different than what I would consider like the Southeast produce season in Q2 that starts mm-hmm. in Q2.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
So during this time you're seeing weather. It is mm-hmm. still hurricane season going into Christmas tree season. So
yep.
That includes rain, depending on where you are, tropical storms, high winds. But then you also have the holiday demand, like I mentioned. It's just demand for imports, different things going across the country. And then you also have holiday time off. There's a lot of holidays in Q4 that people will have time off for, that warehouses might be shut down, leaving early. We've seen a lot of times hours are a little bit different for company potlucks, company time off, whatever it might be that you have to account for, and those last minute shipments could become problematic if the appointments are not available when they normally are because of those things. So all of those included with the changes in the supply and demand can really impact supply chain during this time of year.
Absolutely. So Q4, I mean, typically what we call peak season, right? The holidays certainly play a big part of that. And then when you throw on a Christmas tree market that is in a specific region, again, that causes some slight disruption. So to prepare for that, what can shippers do?
It's all about controlling the controllables, which I feel like has been our theme for the podcast this year.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, maybe just in logistics in general.
It's the theme of our life.
It's the theme of our life. But you can't just like push and expect that people are going to make this work. There are not, I wouldn't say obstacles, but there are things that you need to get around, and being able to focus on notice time, talking about MABDs, understanding your cadence with your retailers, compliance, understanding those things can help you adjust and make the right decisions to keep your supply chain healthy and avoid having to try to cut costs somewhere else because you had to have, you know, a few expedited shipments because the LTL carriers couldn't pick up the day before a holiday.
I always reference throughout the year in the supply chain is lead time and flexibility. So if you're getting the lead time and the visibility of your shipments to your carrier partners ahead of time, that's great. Hopefully they are communicating to you if there are issues. Obviously monitoring the weather, you know, we can't control that. If I-80 shuts down due to a snowstorm in Wyoming, not much we can do. But planning ahead, understanding where we're seeing it. And then like you said, if you're planning to be closed during the Friday, Black Friday after Thanksgiving, can we move shipments up? Can we move them back? Can we change the must arrive by dates for our CPG retail customers? You know, all of that goes into just kind of the consistent overall controlling the controllables. It's a great, great tagline.
And something I always forget is that we do this all the time, every day. Some of the stuff that just seems like second nature to me, like it makes sense. Like, yes, I'm going to actually ask to have this LTL picked up on the Wednesday instead of the Thursday before a holiday.
Right.
And it's surprising to me. And people are like, well, why? Or they don't think about it, or they have partners that aren't thinking ahead or making those changes or looking at what they could consolidate to make it a full truckload versus six LTLs going to the same area that are going to run into weather issues or embargo issues or whatever it might be. So I think asking those questions is also really important. So part of controlling the controllables is understanding what everyone's abilities, capacities, and strengths are so you can utilize them.
And providing all the options. I like that. As usual, if you want to talk about this, 888-GO-ZIPLINE, www.ziplinelogistics.com. We'd love to hear from you. While we've got you, leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. There will be a link to this blog on Christmas tree season in the show notes. Check it out.
And let us know if you think Christmas trees are perfect.
Yeah, that's a good question. We might have to do that's a good one for the next episode. Teddy, thanks for joining us. Thank you to our listeners for joining us on another episode of the Zipline Logistics Podcast. We will see you next time. Take care.